Coming up on today's show...
Baseball isn't everything. In the end, when you're looking back at your life and your deathbed, you want to know that you gave everything to Christ and being the best father you could, being the best, whatever your vocation is, to be the absolute best at it and feel exhausted that you love to the very end.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it, really, just once a week, I promise. Lately, I have been mentioning that Catholic Sports Radio is in shouting distance of 1,000 followers on X, Twitter, and even closer to 600 followers on Instagram. We're still not there yet, unfortunately, so while you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site, and you'll see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can not only engage with me and the show that way, but also help hit those marks on Instagram and X that I just mentioned. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests, that is, in fact, free to join. And you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners. I really do. So social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I do not go out of my way to make the ministry moment match up to the guest and his or her story each week. However, I have often said that clearly this segment is given to me each week by our Heavenly Father because I'm not smart enough to come up with it by myself, what you hear me share each week in this spot on the show. And so even still, I'm sure it's divine order that a passage from the Old Testament was put before me as I prepared for this week's interview. It made me think back to when I was a young student athlete and how, yes, sure, my parents, of course, but my grandfather used to come to as many of my basketball games as he could. What a joyful memory that is for me, and I'm sure he had a similar feeling at the time, too. I hope that each of you remembers someone like that who was present at whatever sport you were competing in when you were in athletics. Our Heavenly Father is always with us, anywhere, everywhere, but it's a comfort to look up into the stands and see His love flowing through to us, through that family member who is sacrificing their time to come and support us as we compete. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6 says, quote, "Children's children are the crown of the elderly, and the glory of children is their parentage," end quote. Or to read it instead from the New American Standard Bible, quote, "Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers." Before I introduce this week's guest, I hope you have been hearing over the last 6 weeks the support that Catholic Sports Radio has gotten from a sponsor. Specifically, Christian Healthcare Ministries is healthcare done differently. They are a biblical alternative to traditional health insurance. It's healthcare that aligns with your faith, is affordable, and flexible. You can join anytime. Visit chministries.org/catholic-radio to learn more. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a pitcher for the Mississippi Braves, the AA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, with whom he signed as a free agent in 2021 after having pitched in the MLB Draft League. He then proceeded to post a 2.76 earned run average over 16 and a third innings in rookie ball. He had played collegiately in Lakeland, Florida, and in high school as well. fans of Major League Baseball absolutely will recognize his last name with his having had three different family members who all played in the big leagues. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, J.J. Negro.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm happy to be on today and looking forward to getting to talk with you and talk about the faith.
Amen. Amen. Likewise. Let's start off by having you tell us first where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
I was born and raised in Plant City, Florida, and I was an only child. I have a half-brother and a half-sister, but my immediate household was just myself, my father, and my mom.
And spoiler alert, folks, JJ and I are, for all intents and purposes, just meeting. Obviously, we traded a lot of emails in the lead-up to this, but Plant City is here in the greater Tampa Bay area. JJ, this was a Catholic household that you grew up in, yes? Tell us about your and your family's faith life when you were a young boy, including Catholic education that you received.
An extremely devout Catholic household. My dad's side of the family is Polish and from Ohio. My mom's side of the family is Irish and from New Jersey. So two authentic and organic Catholic roots combined to produce me and give me such a beautiful Catholic environment in the Plant City area. I went to St. Stephen's Catholic School in Riverview, Florida, all the way up until eighth grade. I was actually a member of the first class to go all the way from early childhood three, which is a pre-kindergarten program, through eighth grade at that school. So I have a long legacy and connection with a lot of the members and the parish there. I went to Jesuit High School in Tampa, Florida after that, which was absolutely amazing. I met so many wonderful priests, teachers, friends, and really developed a sense of Ignatian spirituality and working in the world and not away from it in my prayer life and my Catholic faith and how I treat others. So those two schools gave me a great sense of how to live amongst the world and how to really be joyous in knowing that we have Christ with us in every footstep that we walk.
And in fact, there is something, I'll let you tell the audience what it is, but it shows through on your, I was going to say Instagram bio, but I think it's on your Twitter bio also. Tell the audience what that acronym is that I'm referring to.
Yeah, AMDG, Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam, means for the greater glory of God in English, but that's the Latin that St. Ignatius of Loyola used when he founded his order. It was very prevalent amongst him and his other Jesuits when he had permission from the Pope to found the Jesuits, that everything they would do is for the greater glory of God. He also used the term magis, meaning more in Latin, to always strive beyond what we think we're capable of, because by the grace of God, we know that we can do it. And it's just something that's really stuck with me. And I know a lot of my friends that aren't Catholic love to see it and love that quote as well.
And so, folks, if you don't think that sending your child, and I'm not trying to advocate for putting them in Catholic school, but I'm not trying to not advocate for putting them in a Catholic school, you see how impactful it was for JJ to go to Jesuit high school. JJ, with the lineage that you had, your dad and your uncle, was there any doubt that you were going to play baseball? When did you first start playing sports? And was it always only baseball, or did you actually play something else, singular or plural?
Yeah, so there's no doubt that I would play baseball, in my mind at least. But my dad, my uncle, and my family never really forced it upon me. I think every guy in our family played baseball growing up at some point, just because it was natural, and they realized it was a quick way to follow in their father, their uncle's footsteps. But growing up, I played baseball, soccer, basketball, football.
Wow.
I just had a natural affinity for baseball because obviously of the family, and it keeps you in touch with your familial roots really throughout your entire life. There's a certain beauty in baseball as well. There's a saying I love that baseball is like church. Many attend, few understand. And I think from an early age, I got that. When a lot of my friends wanted to go tackle each other in football or go run around the field playing soccer, I was patient enough to realize the beauty and the passion that I had for baseball, like so many of my family members did before me.
Now, that's interesting that you made at least two references there to the beauty of baseball, because FIFA, the world governing body for the sport of soccer, they always like to say that theirs is the beautiful game or the beautiful sport. And I've never really quite understood why or where that came from, but I think you did a very good job, JJ, as briefly as you said it, of really showing. And those of us that are baseball fanatics know that there is so much to the game. And sure, if you step back, you can say there's so much beauty to it. The athleticism, the stadiums, there's so much history But that's a really good eye-opener that perhaps we need a different perspective on the game that we've come to know and love and root for, whoever our favorite team is.
Yeah, and if I may, real quick, I think there's two other parallels that naturally jump out to me about baseball, and specifically to spirituality and ultimately to Catholicism, because that's where all spirituality leads. But for baseball, there's the reason why some of the old stadiums like Wrigley Field and Fenway Park are known as cathedrals. They would walk in and just be touched by the beauty and the physicality of something that they knew pointed to the beyond. And when you walk into a park, especially Wrigley Field for me, or even Dodger Stadium, because I've been to both of those before, you walk in, you can picture Babe Ruth playing on a certain field. Maybe it's Fenway Park. Or you walk in, you see Ernie Banks, or you see Sandy Koufax, and just imagine the lineage and the history that baseball has had. And then you also look at the field dimensions. Baseball, ironically, is the only sport where there technically is no boundary. If you hit a home run, it could keep going on forever. Mm. So there's also an eternal dimension there, where in football and basketball and soccer, they're confined fields to the goal, to right outside of the foul line. But baseball points to an eternal, points to a dimension that we never really consider, but it's something hidden in our everyday appreciation of the game. So I always try to draw as many connections to Catholicism I can within baseball, but that's one thing that's really stood out to me lately and contemplated in the sport that I love.
Wow. Wow. I love that. I love that. Now that we have established that you were born and raised here in the greater Tampa Bay area, I wonder, did going to the schools you chose and them being local keep you more devoted to your faith, meaning not having the temptations that we hear about when boys or girls go away, not to mention when they go away to a public university instead of a faith-based school?
It's actually interesting. So I went to St. Stephen's Jesuit, and then I went to Florida Southern College. And out of the three schools that I've attended in my life, the college was the closest to my house out of all of them. So St. Stephen's was about a 35 or 40-minute drive. Jesuit was a 45 to 50-minute drive. And I think the Lord providentially allowed that for me to happen because it built in a moment of silence in my day. Every day from when I was 3 or 4 years old, a lot of kids live 5 minutes away from their high school. They can wake up a little bit later. They can get there right as the bell rings. But for me, I'd have to leave 30, 40 minutes earlier than the actual time I would have to leave to beat traffic. So when I started driving and when my mother would drive me to school, there was a built-in time for me to contemplate the day that was coming ahead, or contemplate what had happened during that day, have a discussion with my mother, call a family member, or simply pray. And I think the Lord really allowed me to use those dimensions to add to my spiritual life. And it's something I've even built in on my own. Before I do any type of event, practice, game, interview, whatever it may be, there's moments of silence preceding it that allow for me to really contemplate what I'm about to do and do it with the best of my mind and my heart.
And that's a great lesson, audience. If you're someone who is taking your child or your grandchild back and forth to school and he or she is playing a sport and they're sitting in the back seat on their phone watching YouTube videos of their sport, maybe that's the time to say, I love that you're dedicated to your sport. I love that you want to get better, but commit yourself to your faith first and your sport second. And let's pray together, or let's put on some Christian music, or let's listen to Catholic Sports Radio. Let's do something that's going to connect us to our faith instead of making sport the thing that we worship and that we put as our first priority. So great story there from JJ. And I know he's got a lot more to share. Folks, this is one of those episodes of Catholic Sports Radio where, unfortunately, I need to recommend that you have some tissues nearby, sadly. JJ, I read an interview that you did with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution where you said why you don't hesitate to talk about this, but tell the audience about what happened in October 2006, back when you were a student at St. Stephen's Catholic School.
Yeah, so when I was 8 years old in 2006, my dad died of a brain aneurysm. He actually drove me to school in the morning, perfectly healthy, no signs of any sickness, any disease, or any illness. But when I got picked up in the afternoon, I wasn't picked up by my mother as usual, but by my best friend's mom. And she had just told me that, oh, your dad wasn't feeling that well. They took him to the hospital and we'll go get to see him later. But then as an eight-year-old, or as mature of an eight-year-old can be in understanding and realizing that moment, when I got to the hospital later, I realized that he wasn't conscious. It wasn't looking good at all. All my family was coming into town, and then he eventually passed away later that night. So I lost my father then, and then it was a very unique encounter I had from an 8-year-old's perspective. And I think the Lord allowed me to mature specifically in that moment of losing my father. But over the course 100 days, October 26 being the first day when my father died, I also lost my grandfather and my uncle. And they were all extremely close to my life, very beautiful figures of masculinity and fatherhood. And the Lord took them away from me. And it was a very obviously solemn, sad, terrible experience that I never wish on anyone else. But you learn very rapidly when you're cast in those situations what type of man you are and the brevity of life as a whole. And when you see that happen, there's a certain beauty that when you walk outside and you see the blue skies, you see the white clouds, you hear the birds chirping, that it makes you appreciate every moment, every second you have of life on this earth. And relating it earlier to those times the Lord built in for silence in the morning, even that, just speaking with him, allowed me to recognize how beautiful this life is, the pure joy that we receive, especially from our Catholic faith, and how good our flesh is, that the Lord is even deigned to come into our flesh to be like us, that we might participate in him. I know that was a lot, but sorry, that's what was on my heart.
No, that's good. And I think what came to my mind is you said you see what kind of man you are. An audience, I know, I thought the same thing. He said he was 8 years old at the time. And you also said, JJ, that you're an only child. So how did you cope with that at the age of eight and being an only child? You can't say it made me a man really fast because you were still eight.
Yeah, and I think the Lord really worked in my life from a young age without me knowing. But naturally, I had an amazing mother who did absolutely everything for me, sacrificed her life for me in that moment. But she surrounded me with a lot of father figures that were really, really helpful. Mm. So I had my best friend's dads come in, my uncles, just friends that were always a part of my life. But when they heard about this happening, naturally, they kind of took the next step up. My mom really ensured that they would play a pivotal part in my life.
Okay.
And over time, I realized maybe this uncle would take me out fishing. This uncle or this friend or my half-brother would do this with me with baseball, or they would show me how to do something around the house. But I would take a characteristic from each of them and kind of form in my own person who the Lord was calling me to be. And it was a really beautiful encounter that I kind of even relate to pitching. So it was a good spiritual kind of duo there, that when you watch a game, I used to watch Pedro Martinez growing up. I love Clayton Kershaw. I would try to take, I want to throw Pedro Martinez's changeup or Clayton Kershaw's curveball and create my arsenal based off of that. And I think spiritually, we have to create that spiritual arsenal from building great habits, building great virtues from saints, from people in our life, and most consistently from receiving the Eucharist.
Wow.
But the Lord's revealed that to me, and it was really helpful and insightful over the course of growing up. And again, I can't thank my mother and my grandmother especially as well for surrounding me with such great people to help raise me.
Amen. Amen. And audience, just to clarify, JJ's father was Joe Negro. His uncle was Phil Negro. Phil didn't die until 2020. So I want to make sure you understand that when JJ talked about that in the space of 100 days, he lost his dad, uncle, and grandfather. This was a different uncle that he's referring to. So he did still have Phil Negro around to go to for some of the exactly what you're hearing. Friends, JJ has really found a coach in his life that has been very impactful in his baseball career, but also someone he told me has been, quote, a second father to me, end quote. Amazingly, it's someone who has been a guest on this show. It's God's timing that this would come up this week because I'm blessed to be able to welcome another sponsor. And here's how it ties into that. We all need a coach in our corner. Where do you go if you or a loved one have an attachment to pornography? Let Freedom Coaching help. Don't just quit. Be transformed. Break the power of porn. Visit freedom-coaching.net and be set free forever. That is run by Steve Pokorny, who is Catholic and interviewed me recently on his podcast. All right, so I want JJ to reveal to us who that was that I was just referring to that has not only brought him great baseball skills, but friendship, comfort. I'm assuming he's going to tell us fellowship. And I hope you might go back and listen to that episode of Catholic Sports Radio because it was all the way back at episode 7 in March 2019. I'm not going to steal JJ's thunder. I'll let him tell you who that influential brother in Christ is. But first, I will reveal the name of Mike Lynch, the guest from last week on episode 287 of Catholic Sports Radio. Mike was kind enough to make a financial gift to my ministry, which means so much, the support certainly, but the belief in Catholic Sports Radio and seeing value in all the time that I put into doing this so I can bring you stories each week from great guests like Mike, like you're hearing from JJ Negro, and like so many others that I've been blessed to get testimony from that hopefully you are benefiting from in your faith life. My wife was telling me about an email she received where there was an ask for donations, and she said there was no context, which made it difficult to justify what they were hoping supporters would do. I strive to be very transparent and let you know exact costs and what I get bills for so that you know how it's used when people like Mike Lynch make a contribution. I have given specific examples over numerous episodes of this show. All this to say that I ask you to prayerfully consider this ministry as part of your tithing. If this show is helping you in your faith life, if you believe in the mix of faith and sports, if you like what I'm doing with the Catholic Sports Radio ministry and you see value in all that I put into this and would like to support these ongoing efforts, I would be most grateful for your making a financial gift. There is a blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. That gives you the opportunity to type in whatever amount you're comfortable with and then send via credit card, debit card, or PayPal. If you prefer not to do so online, get in touch with me through the website or social media, or write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. Either way, the Donate to CSR button on the website or sending a check, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks on an upcoming episode, just as you're hearing me do on this episode with Mike Lynch. Or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. JJ, what about it? End the suspense. Tell the audience who your pitching coach has been throughout your life and the bond that the two of you have formed, meaning not solely baseball.
Yeah, so when I was growing up, after my dad died when I was 8 years old, my mom took me to pitching lessons with a guy in the Tampa area named Jim Osting. And Coach Jimmy Osting has been a second father to me, an incredible baseball coach. And we've really bonded over our Catholic faith as well, because I went to Jesuit in Tampa. He went to an all-boys Catholic high school up in his hometown. And it was just beautiful that I knew right away when I walked in that he was very similar to my father, not completely an old school approach to baseball, but old school in the sense that everything was done the right way. We always wore our pants up. We'd always tuck in our shirts, little things that make you appreciate the order and structure where you can really find yourself in a sense of freedom playing the game of baseball. But Coach Jimmy has been there every step of the way for me, whether I needed a mechanics analysis, whether I needed something at 11:30 at night when I had a bad outing, he would be the first person to text me back despite his busy schedule. I've been able to see his kids grow up, to know his wife, know his family, and see the beauty of his organization. I know a lot of people aren't familiar with travel baseball, especially the youth age and high school age, but Jimmy Osting had a team of kids from two different high schools. And usually people are flying kids across the country, from the Dominican Republic, from Puerto Rico, to play on their team to win championships. But he ended up creating one of the most prestigious travel baseball organizations in all of the country, just from kids within a 20 to 30 mile radius, from doing exactly those same things, treating them with respect, being realistic with them, incorporating his Catholic faith in the way that he loved these guys and really pushed the best out of them, never with getting on them incorrectly or letting any of kind of the secular mindset of a win at all costs bleed into him. So he's just been the best father figure and coach that I could ever ask for. And I'm so eternally grateful the Lord allowed me to know him, to be a friend, and now be a colleague and help him coach some of his camps or help him with lessons whenever he needs help with that.
Indeed, it's a blessing that is so generous from our Heavenly Father, because certainly it's so important if you're going to try to have a go at it long term in baseball. You need someone like that that can help you with the mechanics, but for it to also end up being someone that becomes virtually a father figure to you is just tremendous. So folks, go way back to episode 7 from March 2019. Jimmy Osting pitched for the Milwaukee Brewers and San Diego Padres. He had been drafted by the Atlanta Braves, and he had recently been a guest instructor at San Francisco Giants spring training at the time that he and I did the interview. JJ, I don't normally ask hard-hitting questions on this show, but I'm sure this is not anything you haven't heard before or certainly thought of yourself. When your dad was Joe Negro and your uncle was Phil Negro, even your half-brother Lance was a big leaguer, that does not guarantee a long career in Major League Baseball for JJ Niekro. No one is going to hand you a spot on an MLB roster just because of your family members who played. My questions are, did you have to wrestle with that, face that? Do you feel you maybe worked even harder because of that? And did you maybe lean on your Catholic faith for strength and wisdom of how to navigate that?
Yeah, those are great questions. And I think I never really leaned on it in any sense. My uncle said a quote that I quote often, and I really, really love it because it's true. He never wanted to be a Hall of Fame player. He just wanted to be a Hall of Fame person. And that was the main goal and focus of his life. And as I get older now, when you're younger, you don't appreciate going to the stadiums and your dad and your uncle and your brother knowing all these top-notch caliber players or getting special treatment when you go into locker rooms. But as I get older, yeah, I appreciate, obviously, the chance to do that because I know how rare and fortunate I was to experience it. But the best part was seeing my dad or my uncle walk into a locker room and then everyone in there light up because they had walked in. Mm. It wasn't like, oh, Phil Niekro's here, let's get his autograph. It's, no, Phil's here, can you tell us a story? My dad and my uncle would remember some of the kids' names of the players in there. They'd know their wives' names. They'd check in with them. And that's something that I've tried to do in my entire baseball journey, just to love everyone, to be there for everyone, for no matter what the cost is. And especially when things don't go well when you play baseball, that's a struggle. But I think that's especially where I relied on my faith, because baseball isn't everything. In the end, when you're looking back at your life and your deathbed, you want to know that you gave everything to Christ and being the best father you could, being the best, whatever your vocation is, to be the absolute best at it and feel exhausted that you love to the very end. So I didn't really lean on the sense of the last name. I felt a lot of pride with it, especially. And the sense of making me train harder, I think it did make me train a little bit harder, though, because obviously you want to be able to back up some of the success your family has had and everything. But again, it's a beautiful journey so far that you never expect to have a 5-6 year major league career. Who knows if I'll even get there. But I know that if my dad or my uncle or my brother never got there, they'd still be exactly the same people that they are today. Mm. That's really what mattered to them in life. Wow. And to bring in the faith, I mean, they were just completely encapsulated in a love for the Lord that it was so evident. Like I said, when you walked into a room, you could tell the vibe, the shift in the room, to know it was a holier place and a happier place because they had walked in. And I pray the Lord allows the grace of me doing that to other people and encountering them in every aspect of their life.
Mm, just awesome. Just awesome. You sent me an email in the lead up to today, and you had links in there to three other interviews you've done with Catholic media. It's a safe choice to hide your light under a bushel and not talk about your faith publicly. You obviously have made a decision to do anything but keep that aspect private. Sadly, you never know who might even judge you for doing so. For starters, for what it's worth, coming from me, I'm here to say bravo and thank you for your courage to step out in faith and evangelize the way that you are. But secondly, what made you decide to use your platform as a baseball player to tell people about your devotion to Catholicism and to our Lord?
No, thank you for that. I really appreciate it because I think it's something that goes underlooked as a whole, and not even for me. You think of great Catholic athletes. I'm dear friends with Mike Sweeney. He was one that really inspired me in my early baseball career in pro ball. Getting to meet him was a blessing. Philip Rivers, Trevor Williams, Harrison Bucker, these guys that have gone out and proclaimed the Lord in every aspect of secular society. And it's very, very tough because obviously the Lord even said that he will not be accepted in every place and every time, and people will hate you because of his name. And fortunately, I haven't had any instances where people have gotten mad at me, because the way I encounter Christ and the way I encounter a lot of my teammates is they all come from different backgrounds. I just try to love them as best they can, to meet them where they're at. If they're ever interested in coming to Mass with me, if learning more about the faith, I'm always there for them. And I think as a good Catholic, we have to learn to really defend the faith and some of those hard-hitting questions that modern society can bring upon us today. But it's just, when you look at the faith, it's a journey from mountaintop to mountaintop that never ends. Every peak you climb is a new high. It's a new way to encounter the Lord, to see the Spirit really within you. And when you see that and you read about the beautiful stories of saints, when you realize in the silence of your hearts that the Lord is there no matter what you do, how can you not be joyful about it? It's like the early apostles. They went out to the four corners of the world because of what they had seen and what they had heard from the Lord. And I just pray that all of us can realize the magnitude of our Catholic faith and how that it calls upon us to do this in every aspect of secular society, whether you're a baseball player, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a teacher. We could all minister and help others to know and love Christ the way we do through how we act for him.
Amen. Amen. Having just heard all of that, do you have a story by chance about bringing a teammate to Christ, or if not, maybe witnessing teammates being open about their faith? And I'm thinking here more in the context of the last few years since you signed with the Braves, because obviously at Jesuit High School, Florida Southern, there's a concerted effort by those schools to keep students connected to their faith.
Absolutely. So I can think of two in particular. One was in pro ball. There was one of my really dear friends who had fallen away from the faith. He acknowledged that he wasn't going to Mass on Sunday, wasn't doing anything particular, but he was planning on getting married in the church the following fall. This was either in 2022 or 2023. But I invited him with me to make his first confession in 12 years, to go pray a holy hour and go to Mass with me. And really, ever since that moment, you can see a change in the way that he perceives the faith. He'll text me all the time saying, I just heard this great homily. I went to this great church. I'm involved in my men's group. And I can't thank you enough for really helping me get back on my feet with that. And his wife played a major role in it. I really didn't play any role. I just brought him to Christ through the means available to me and set up a confession. But I think the Lord's allowed me to do that in my baseball career, of almost being a networker and allowing, I know where a great confession is. I know where a great priest is. Let's do this. This would be great for your soul. So that was a really beautiful encounter. And then again, some of my favorite things are with my non-Catholic teammates, especially because I love deep questions. I love philosophy. I love theology. I love reading. So a lot of my teammates, they'll call me a nerd, or you like that stuff. But in the dugout, the baseball season is extremely long. You're playing 6 games a week. Monday is your only off day in the minor leagues. And people naturally come up to you with questions saying, why do you guys do this? What do you believe as Catholic? What do you think about this issue? And it's a beautiful chance for evangelization, because these guys have something kind of stirring in the depths of their heart, wondering about a certain issue in secular society, or wondering about how they can make their life better or happier, or realizing that they're not happy because all they're trying to fill themselves with is the pleasure of everyday life. And once you see those things, naturally you try to bring people to Mass, you try to bring them into the sacraments, into the faith. But more importantly, at the start, you just love them, and you love them to the fullest of your heart's desire. The first thing our Lord did with all the sinners and tax collectors was eat and drink with them. So meeting these people where they are and just being available to them without casting any prejudice, any doubt, it's something that our world doesn't offer enough, because there's so much judgment, there's so much hate. You go on X, you go on Instagram, everything is divisive and everything is, I need to be right. When's the last time you just took a step back and said, I love you, man, I'm here for you no matter what. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. And let's obviously journey as close as we can to Christ together.
I love it. I love it. Great witness. Great witness. Let's close on a fun note. I read that in college, your team played the Detroit Tigers in a spring training scrimmage, and you got likely Hall of Famer Miguel Cabrera to ground out to short. Is that the top baseball highlight that comes to mind if I were to ask you to pick one, or is it something else? And if so, what?
Yeah, that was a pretty cool one. Getting to face Miguel Cabrera was awesome. That day was my freshman year of college, and I think that was the first organized game we had played against another team. And when you look at the lineup, you see Miguel Cabrera, J.D. Martinez, Justin Verlander, some pretty high-caliber players and Hall of Famers in that conversation. You kind of just got like a welcome to baseball moment. Like, wow, this is real. This is awesome. I specifically remember my first start in minor league baseball as well as in Charleston, South Carolina, a city that I love, that's very dear to me. That was a really cool moment as well. But yeah, getting Miguel Cabrera was pretty awesome. My first taste of pro ball. So it was a blast.
So cool. So cool. And JJ, so wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate your ministry and all that you do, and know that I'll be praying for you, for your listeners, and for the greater glory of God, as St. Ignatius would say.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And audience, here's another connection. JJ mentioned that he attended St. Stephen Catholic School. St. Stephen's is where I was going month after month after month after month as part of the Curcio movement. I was going there for monthly Altrea meetings. And so I thought, as our closing prayer for this episode, we would do the prayer to the Holy Spirit, because that is what we would pray every month at those Altrea meetings that I was attending at St. Stephen's. So let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of us, your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created. and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.